And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL exporter has done it again.
Yes, indeed. It is the NFL Exporter. I am with you for the first time in 17 weeks. We do not have a Monday night football game. The NFL slash fantasy football season is officially over. And so first and foremost, I'd like to shout out everybody who's been able to listen to the show throughout the course of the season. Certainly has been a lot of fun. Definitely got to shout out my guys, Victor Gardner, Mr. FSP, also Jerry Taylor, Mr. Cash Out, Mr. ATM. Also my man McCall, was able to get it in with us in the preseason a couple times throughout. Thank you all to all those guys. It certainly was a great season here. And I've got a great show lined up for you today. I'm not going to waste any time. This is my final show of this NFL slash fantasy football season. As you know, The Extra Point is a show that came on each and every Monday, pretty much recapped and reviewed. Myself, as well as Jerry Taylor, our predictions, our analysis on games on Sunday from the master plan. And then there's usually a Monday night football game that gets played tonight. They usually determines the outcome of a lot of people's games. Last week, we had the Denver Broncos and Cincinnati Bengals. That was a whole lot of fun. I was included in that as well as Victor and Jerry. Certainly going to talk about those games in our seasons before we get up out of here. The call-in number to the show, 347-637-3220. Again, this is my final call for this upcoming season. I will be back in August. To get the ball rolling again. So to talk to me one last time live on the air, 347-637-3220. Today, I'm going to cover everything for you. I've got the final stats and rankings from each position. We're going to look at our top waiver wire pickups from the regular season as well as the playoffs. I'm going to take a look at who were the best value slash late round picks for this year. We've got our all-stud team as well as our stud of the year. And then our takeaways from the season. So I'm quite sure that you are going to enjoy that. We're going to run to a quick commercial break, allow everybody to get themselves firmly fixed in place. And then when we come back, we're going to hop into the show. Once again, NFL Exporter, Extra Point, final show of the season, NFL season finally in the books.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Point NFL Exporter. I definitely got to shout out anybody out there who was able to win a championship this year. That is a huge accomplishment. When you think about fantasy football, what goes into a 16, sometimes 17-week season, you are talking about the players that you initially drafted, your strategies and everything that went into that. You're talking about utilizing the waiver wire. You're talking about guys not producing or performing the way that they're supposed to. You're talking about injuries. There are a multitude of variables that play into a fantasy / NFL season. So if you're able to make it to a championship game, that's great. If you're able to actually win it, shout out to you. Congratulations. Myself, as well as Jerry Taylor, brought in championships this year. So that is, again, a big accomplishment there. Victor usually joins us, Mr. FSP, on the show on Monday, so I'm going to kind of hold off on anything pertaining to him, give him a chance to speak for himself. But once again, shout out. As a matter of fact, my pops as well. I know he was able to bring in a championship this year. A lot of people that I get down with on Facebook, all my Facebook crew, all my Twitter crew, everybody that goes hard with me on my social networks. We've been going hard all year, filming with a lot of people that brought in championships. So congratulations as well. Now let's go ahead. Let's get into the show. I know this is pretty much what everybody has been waiting for. And now that the dust has settled, 17 weeks ago, we all drafted players based on what we thought they were capable of doing this year. Let's see how it turned out. We're going to start at the quarterback position. Your number one quarterback this year, Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers, had 4,381 passing yards, 38 TD passes, 5 interceptions, also ran 2 touchdowns in. He was able to top out Andrew Luck by 6 points. So I think we all know of Andrew Luck, who sat out the second half of yesterday's game due to the Colts already having their playoff position locked up. Certainly you think Andrew Luck would have came away the leader. Nonetheless, Aaron Rodgers, though, pretty interesting year when you look back on Aaron Rodgers. If you think about the first 3 games of the season, this was Aaron Rodgers with very low points. He had 9 points week 1 at Seattle, week 3, 10 points at Detroit. I think now looking back on those games, you figure the season is just started. Both Seattle and Detroit play very tough at home. They have top 10 defenses. So I think those numbers are understandable considering how early in the season those games were played. But after week 3 at Detroit, Aaron Rodgers got hot, and that's when things took off for him. 10 straight weeks, Aaron Rodgers gave you a 20-plus point. And that is certainly how he climbed his way up the charts. The interesting thing when you look at Aaron Rodgers' season, I think is the distribution he was able to put out between Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. Obviously, we'll talk about them later. But Rodgers, I think he was on full display this year. We got an opportunity to see the precision passing. This guy certainly is a surgeon when it comes to passing the football. Got a chance to see him utilizing his legs a little more, getting 2 rushing touchdowns. That certainly helped you out. And the thing that you always like about Aaron Rodgers, only 5 interceptions. He's a guy we've seen numerous years throwing 35 to 45 TD passes, and he always keeps the interceptions 10 or less. So you got to love that. Number 2, Andrew Luck, just spoke on him. Pretty good season for Luck. I think that would be an understatement. Andrew Luck, a guy was certainly in most people's top 10, but coming out and actually leading all quarterbacks this year with 40 touchdown passes, did those 16 interceptions. He gave you another 3 touchdowns on the ground, 2 for 4,761 yards. This was a banner year for Andrew Luck in his 3rd season. Considering pretty much all of the Colts' weapons are coming back next year, I think the sky's the limit for this kid. I don't think there's any question he's going to be in everybody's top 5 next year, and rightfully so. If he's going to continue to throw the football 35 to 45, you know, sometimes up towards 50 times a ball game, he's a guy who's going to definitely get it done when you think about a volume passer. He did have 3 30-point games on the season. That was tied for the most amongst quarterbacks with our number 3 guy, and that is Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks. Wilson had 3 30-point performances this season. Got it done across the board. Got you 3,475 yards through the air, 20 TDs, 7 interceptions. On the ground is where he did the damage and what made him a must-start every week. 849 rushing yards, 6 touchdowns. So Russell Wilson essentially accounted for about 4,400 yards and 26 TDs. Another thing you love about Russell Wilson, this was the 3rd straight year for him where he's throwing 10 interceptions or less. When I tell you how important it is to be able to have a quarterback who's not turning the football over, those couple points, they certainly add up throughout the course of the season and sometimes throughout the course of the game. Russell Wilson was spectacular this year. I think where you were able to pick him up in draft, the value is unlimited. There's no question he is going to be on our late round / value picks of the year. Coming in at number 4, You've got Peyton Manning. I don't think that's any surprise there. Manning really would have had the top ranking this year if it wasn't for pretty much him just kind of going into a drought. I know that Denver changed their philosophy, and I think smartly wants to focus on the run a little more. They understand they're going to have to do that if they really want to compete for a championship this year. But if you look at Peyton Manning this year, 4,727 yards, 39 TDs, 15 interceptions, no question about that. His first nine games, he gave you 20-plus points. But after week 11, he only gave you 20 points in one game. And we're talking about weeks 12, weeks 14, 15, 16, 17. Basically, Manning, when you look at Peyton Manning, six out of his last seven games, he's given you 15 points or less. And that was huge. That certainly had a huge impact on a lot of fantasy owners' season, especially in the playoffs. Nonetheless, though, Peyton Manning puts up the numbers. It's always going to keep him in the top five, considering the weapons he has around him. Coming in at number five, Ben Roethlisberger, another guy who certainly is going to be on our late-round all-value picks, led the NFL. I should say was tied for the NFL lead in passing yards, 4,952 yards, 32 TDs, 9 interceptions. The thing that really catapulted Ben Roethlisberger this season was that two-game stretch against Indianapolis and Baltimore. I know we can all think back to that time, and especially if you had Roethlisberger in during those games, and that it was not a guarantee. That was week 8 or 9. He had been steady, you know, for the most part. I think where you picked him up in drafts, he certainly had been playing up to that potential. But that two-week stretch there in weeks 8 and 9, when he went off for 12 TD passes, 0 interceptions, that shot him right up the charts, and he sticks in the top five as we end the season. Ben Roethlisberger, certainly a guy with a dynamic playmaker in Antonio Brown. He's getting the football to certainly helps this cause out a lot. And Le'Veon Bell, the damage he was able to do. So Ben Roethlisberger, certainly, I think when you think about the top three-headed monsters in fantasy football this year, there's no question the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers are those teams who had those three guys. If you had them this year, boy, what a payoff for you. Next, coming in at number six, Drew Brees. Even though he's ranked sixth, there's no question Brees, one of your hugest disappointments of this fantasy football season, considering where you were picking him, what was expected. Brees did finish. I don't think there's any surprise there. Tied with Ben Roethlisberger for the most yards passing, 49-52. But 33 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. That is basically a 1-to-1 ratio, a 2-to-1 ratio. And that's not good. You don't want a situation for where every three passes, basically, that Drew Brees is throwing, two are touchdowns, one's an interception. You know, those numbers just don't add up. I think when you look amongst the top quarterbacks in their interceptions, certainly, you know, there are some guys, and I will say this about Brees, it was really about the timing of his interceptions and really the erratic play. When you look at Drew Brees this year, two out of his first 10 games, he gave you 20 points or more. And that certainly is not what and where you drafted Drew Brees to bring in that production. You're thinking 20 points a week. And so Brees, certainly a huge disappointment to owners this year. There were certainly some games that he put up some good numbers for you, but starting him on a weekend and week out basis, there's no way you could have came away satisfied if Drew Brees was your starter from week 1 to 17. Coming in at number 7, you got Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons. Similar situation here, basically throwing an interception for every two touchdowns. And look, 28 touchdowns, 14 interceptions for Ryan, 33 touchdowns, 17 interceptions for Brees. I don't think, again, nobody's complaining about those overall numbers, but we're talking about being consistent. And when you look at Matt Ryan, he's a guy who started off the season red hot at 30 points in the first game of the season. But for the next 11 weeks, Matt Ryan only had 20 points two times, struggled mightily throughout the course of the season. I think he's another guy who, if you were able to catch at the right time, he certainly did great things for your team. But when we talk about consistency, absolutely not. You want to talk about consistency, let's talk about our number 8 prospect here. And we're talking about Tommy Guns himself, Mr. Tom Brady of the New England Patriots. Another banner year for him, 4,109 yards, 33 TDs, 9 interceptions. Hello. And when you look at Brady, certainly was a roller coaster ride for him that got going uphill after going downhill first. If you look at Tom Brady, the first four games of the season, he only gave you double digits in one game. That's it, one game. I know that if you recall back, if you think back into the season about that Monday night game against Kansas City, how they got pulverized, and there were a lot of questions and concerns about Tom Brady, a guy who I had ranked inside of my top five, probably the only expert analysis that had Tom Brady ranked inside of their top five this year. There were a lot of question marks surrounding Tom Brady and that Patriots offense, but for the next 10 weeks, Tom Brady only had one game under 17 points. That's what you call consistency. When you can plug in a quarterback or a player and they're going to give you 17 points or more for 9 out of 10 weeks, that's the production and the consistency that I'm talking about right there. Tom Brady, another guy, late round, excellent value pick. There's no question about that. Ryan Tannehill, surprisingly, number 9. I think this is one of the most interesting prospects on this list right now. Tannehill threw for over 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, only 11 interceptions, a rushing touchdown as well. Here's a guy in Ryan Tannehill who was able to give you 5-plus games of 20 or more points. He had 8 games in total where he's up over 15 points. Inconsistent, I think that was made it difficult to gauge. And when you're talking about basically 8 games of 15 or more and then 8 games of 14 or less, very difficult, you know, trying to figure out what week he's going to pop in for. But he had some huge games, most notably a couple weeks ago against Minnesota. Don't know if anybody utilized him in the playoffs. That game was the complete opposite of what was expected. But Ryan Tannehill, surprise addition in the top 10. It'll be interesting to see coming in the next season. Will analysts will respect that and have him in the top 10 coming into next season? Coming in at number 10, Eli Manning of the New York Giants, certainly a guy who got it going late, was able to give you 10 games, of 15 or more points. I'll take that any day. Certainly consistent. I think Eli Manning is a guy who's shown over the years, anytime that he has a bad year or a year where he's throwing a high volume of interceptions, he seems to come back and respond the next year. He was able to do that this year, throwing for 4,410 yards, 30 TDs, 14 interceptions, was able to run in one. We all know he hit his stride on the tail end of the season as Odell Beckham Jr., the outstanding rookie wide receiver for the Giants, as he's got it going. Eli Manning was really able to step in and give you some major production down the playoff stretch. Coming in at number 11, you got Tony Romo of the Dallas Cowboys, another guy, love the consistency, 11 games of 15 or plus points. That's what I'm talking about right there. Romo, another guy, throwing for 3,705 yards, 34 TDs, 8 interceptions. Love the consistency. Certainly going to speak about him when it came to quarterbacks making it happen in the playoffs. Number 12, Phillip Rivers. Inconsistent this year. There's no doubt about it. When you look at Phillip Rivers, it's right down the middle. He's got 8 games of 15 or more, 8 games of 14 or less. I call it average. I think that's what 50% is, if I'm not mistaken. The thing with Rivers, did well against the defenses who weren't playing so well, especially beginning of the season. We're talking about teams like the Jaguars, the Raiders, the Jets. But facing tough defenses this year, you know, Kansas City, I think the only two teams that Phillip Rivers did not struggle against were the 49ers at the end of the year, and he threw 3 interceptions in that game before coming back strong, the Seahawks at home, and the Buffalo Bills, even though I think that was week 3, so the Bills' defense certainly was not playing at the level that it was. But when you look at Phillip Rivers this year against the tougher defenses, really struggled, including in the playoffs, struggled mightily, as a matter of fact. If you trusted Phillip Rivers, you certainly find yourself in a world of trouble at the quarterback position coming down the stretch. Number 13, Joe Flacco. Similar situation, 9 games, 14 or less, 7 games, 15 or more. But I think looking at Flacco, who's a guy who found his way up my final quarterback rankings, I think I had him in somewhere between 15 to 20. If you were able to catch him on the right week, he was able to do some good things for you. Another thing about Flacco, ranked 13th, he certainly wasn't a guy that I think most people picked up as a starter unless you know, kind of went with a different strategy. But certainly this is a guy who I believe was in for a backup role. You could probably pick up off the waiver wire, you know, pretty soon into the season. He was a guy I think you could have some type of trust in if your starting quarterback went down, at least be able to get some points, have some pretty good weapons around him, a good defense. But Flacco, definitely a guy I think that you picked up in later rounds coming in ranked 13th. Again, if you were able to use him for what he was worth, he did throw for 27 TDs this year, only 12 interceptions, 3,986 yards. So Joe Flacco at 13, I think that's a good look for him. 14, Jay Cutler. Cutler's a guy who certainly the first part of the season, I think he lived up to what our expectation has become of Jay Cutler, which is a guy who can put up a ton of stats. You just got to live with the turnovers, and there are going to be some games where there are a lot of those. Looking at Cutler this year, threw for 3,812 yards. Do we love the 28 interceptions? We hate the 18 interceptions, but it comes with Jay Cutler. He's a guy who obviously most people, I think, don't have the proper perspective on. I've said this throughout the course of the season. When you look at what's going on in Chicago and them essentially paying Jay Cutler that type of money, you look at his career averages. He's played 7 years. 5 of those years he's been able to make it through 16 games. The guy's averaged 22 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. So, you know, I don't know what it was, you know, that made them pay him so much outside of the fact that, yes, he could say he had been maybe to a Pro Bowl or an NFC Championship game, but there certainly wasn't anything in outside the market that demanded that type of money for Cutler. But anyway, for Jay Cutler, as I was saying initially, the first 10 games of the season, he was up over 15 points. He had no problem. It was his it was 5 out of his last 8 games that killed him, 13 or less points. We all know that he ended up getting benched for Jimmy Clausen. We have no idea if Cutler's even going to be back in Chicago next year. Coming in at number 15, certainly one of your biggest disappointments without question. We're talking about Matthew Stafford of Detroit Lions. Look, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he had to play a lot of the season without Calvin Johnson, Reggie Bush, his tight ends banged up, new offensive coordinator. We get it. We understand that. But, again, average. 8 games, 15 or more. 8 games, 14 or less. Very hard to put a finger on when he was going to do what. Here's a guy I can speak of firsthand, absolutely killed owners in the fantasy playoffs. He did finish the year with 4,257 yards, 22 TD passes, 12 interceptions, also had a couple rushing touchdowns. But Matthew Stafford, he was a disappointment this year for Detroit. Finding his way at number 16, Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers. I think this was a typical Cam Newton year, all things considered. Threw for 3,127 yards, 18 TDs, 12 interceptions. Ran for 539, 5 touchdowns. You think about a guy who's coming off of foot surgery, had a little back issues coming in right before the season started. Not a new offense as far as skilled players around him, and probably the worst offensive line in the NFL. All things considered, Cam Newton had a decent season. He's right where I had him. I had Cam Newton ranked 18th coming into the season. You could kind of see the writing on the wall with the way that their team was set up on the offensive side of the football. In light of all that, Cam Newton was one of your best quarterbacks in fantasy football this year when the playoffs started. Colin Kaepernick of the San Francisco 49ers, what a disappointment he was this year. That whole thing out in San Francisco ended up turning into a fiasco by the time the year was over. Colin Kaepernick, without question, one of the huge disappointments this year when you think about all the weapons and talent he had around him. He threw for 3,369 yards, only 19 TD passes, 10 interceptions. Only one rushing touchdown. He did have over 600 yards rushing. But when you look at Colin Kaepernick through the first 15 weeks of the season, you're talking about only one 20-point game? That's ridiculous. That is just a flat-out shame. You know, you look at Colin Kaepernick, and he's got a lot of work to do. That 49ers offense, you don't know what's going to get another franchise. Have no idea who's going to be on that field next year. But he's a guy they're locked into long-term. He's got a lot of work to do. Because if not, man, I tell you, that's going to be a waste of a huge contract yet again on another quarterback. Looking at 18, Andy Dalton, I think that should tell you at the quarterback position how far we're dropping off now. Dalton, horrendous year. I'm not going to cover code it at all. This guy can't play quarterback. Let's just face the reality of the situation. Another guy like Jay Cutler, like Colin Kaepernick, cashed in on a huge payday. Absolutely not. 3,398 yards, but 19 TDs, 17 interceptions. He did get your 4 rushing touchdowns. If it weren't for that, he wouldn't even be in the top 20. You're looking at only 2 games all year from this guy at 20-plus points, 10 games of 14 or less. And look, again, I call it how it is. I certainly understand that A.J. Green, Marvin Jones, Tyler Eifert were out, even Giovanni Bernard for a little while. I understand that you got a new offensive coordinator there in Hugh Jackson, who, by the way, does everything he can to protect you with the running game. But this guy, flat out, he's inaccurate with the football, very inconsistent. Andy Dalton, I think this is a guy who, if he doesn't get a playoff win this year, we just need to look at him basically more or less of a game manager. I mean, we'll see next year when all the weapons are fully back, but this is a guy, he burnt me once this year, and it was the only time. Yes, he had a couple, you know, good games after that, but after he burnt me, I'm quite sure this will resonate with a lot of people. Thursday night football at home against the Cleveland Browns. Yes, that was my final straw with him, and for good reason. We'll talk about him later on. Alex Smith of the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, 7 games or 15 points or more, if you're able to catch him on the right weeks, which I'm assuming your quarterback was either hurt or had a tough matchup or you knew something inside the numbers, you'll take it. He's a guy, waiver wire ready pretty much at any time. Again, a plug-in guy. 3,265 yards, 18 TDs, 6 interceptions, a touchdown to go with that. Rounding out our top 20, let's give it up for rookie Derek Carr. Very solid rookie season. He certainly, to me, had the best rookie season for a quarterback. The numbers speak for themselves, 3,270 yards, 21 TDs, 12 interceptions. He was the only quarterback who came in. All these quarterbacks, rookies, had veterans ahead of them. He had Matt Schaub. Schaub did play horrible, but Carr basically outplayed him. He's the only guy to start from day one. I love the 12 interceptions. He threw the football an awful lot, 21 TD passes. He didn't have much to work with out there. I think a tricky play, if you were able to catch him on the right week, very good on your end because 5 games or 15 points or more. I think sometimes if you're just looking to pump in double digits, then you respect it for what it is. But this guy's got a bright future ahead of him. If they can get him a big-time receiver, he's going to be able to do some things. Looking at some quarterbacks now, we had ranked inside of the top 20 to 25 coming into the season who didn't make the cut. Josh McCown, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it speaks for itself. He's not the answer there. Nick Foles for the Eagles, I think if he wouldn't have got hurt, he certainly would have been in the top 20. Carson Palmer, probably tough schedule coming down the stretch with those NFC West battles with the Rams, the Seahawks, and 49ers. Quite sure he'd have been right outside of it, if not anything. And then Robert Griffith III of the Washington Redskins spent the majority of the season on the bench, whether it was due to an injury or due to his poor play. We're going to run to a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's take a look at our running backs, NFL Exporter Extra Point.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Welcome back to the Extra Point, NFL Exporter, 347-637-3220. Wrapping up the final show of the season, NFL fantasy football season officially over, at least the regular season. So let's go ahead, hop back in. Right now we are taking a look at the top players at each position. Moving over to the running backs now. Coming in at number one, DeMarco Murray of the Dallas Cowboys, 1,845 rushing yards to lead the NFL. 13 rushing touchdowns. This guy was unbelievable this year. Only had one game in single digits, and that was the game that Dallas played against Arizona without Tony Romo. He had 79 yards in that one. There's no question if Romo plays, he'd have double digits there. What made DeMarco Murray so special this year? 10 out of his first 11 games, he's up over 100 yards. Also, you like what he can do off the backfield. Gave you a nice 57 catches. For 346 yards. So even on a PPR note, he's certainly a great guy to have. And 12 games in which DeMarco Murray is up over 15 points, ladies and gentlemen, that is called production. Number two, Le'Veon Bell. Bell had a chance to actually knock DeMarco off. It wasn't for his late-game injury. He ends up behind Murray by 10 points. Le'Veon Bell this year for owners who were able to get him. Boy, what a treat and surprise you got on your hands. Unless you're in the top five picks next year, you will not get your hands back on him. So I certainly hope you were able to reap the benefits. Same is going to hold true pretty much for all of our top running backs here. But Le'Veon Bell, this guy put it on this year, really the second half of the season. Had seven games of over 15 points, only had two games in single digits. All-purpose threat, 1,300 yards on the ground with eight TDs. How about 83 catches for 854 yards, another three TDs? I tell you, he certainly has to be the most improved player in the NFL this season. Number three, Marshawn Lynch of the Seattle Seahawks. It was just another day at the office for Lynch. Since he's been in Seattle, 1,300 yards rushing, 13 TDs. I believe that has been pretty much the norm. Also, 367 yards, four TDs on 37 catches through the air. Nice little additive there, led all fantasy football players outside of quarterbacks with 17 touchdowns overall. I don't see why the Seattle Seahawks just don't pay Marshawn Lynch. That's, again, for another day. Lynch only four games in single digits, seven games of over 15 points. Matt Forte, Rapping Forte, the Chicago Bears. He was smooth as he wanted to be this year. Certainly didn't give you the numbers you liked on the ground with 1,038 and six TDs. But he was basically playing wide receiver this year. 102 catches, 808 yards, four TDs out the backfield. Matt Forte, an absolute beast. Had to be PPR player of the year, probably besides Le'Veon Bell, considering the amount of touches that this guy had. 10 games, over 15 points. One of the best fantasy football running backs from about week four to maybe 11 or 12. Just ripped off about maybe eight games in a row where he's up over 15 points. He was a monster, as always. Only six games this year in single digits. You certainly respect that. Number five, Arian Foster. I think we were all happy to just see him back on the football field. I think Foster, now a guy we all understand, if you're drafting, you're going to have to live with your injury. Best thing to do is have a backup plan in the event that that happens. Foster, 1,246 rushing yards, 8 TDs, another 38 catches in the air, 327 yards, 5 TDs. Without question, Arian Foster, one of the best running backs in the NFL, 9 games, up over 15 points, only 3 single-digit games. And if he was healthy throughout the course of the season, I'm quite sure he could have contested DeMarco Murray for that rushing title. He was that good this year when he was healthy. Number six, Eddie Lacy of the Green Bay Packers. Got up to a slow start. Looking back on it now, we certainly understand. You look at his first three games, he basically played the top run defenses in the NFL at Seattle, at Detroit, and the New York Jets. But after that, Eddie Lacy cranked in the numbers for you. 12 out of his last 13 games, up in double digits. He's a guy who had four games in single digits. And like I said, three of those were his first three games of the season. So he just kicked it into overdrive, got you 1,139 yards on the ground, 9 TDs. You love seeing him get 42 catches, 427 yards, 4 TDs. That was certainly something you look now amongst these top five running backs you're seeing. Certainly a huge part of these teams' passing game. So that definitely gives these guys some extra value. Number seven, Jamal Charles of the Kansas City Chiefs. Definitely a disappointment this year. Battle injuries. Jamal's a guy usually able to stay healthy. Certainly battle injuries, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. I've got to shout my guy out, Jerry Taylor, Mr. Cash Out. When we discussed Jamal Charles on the master plan, I know he spoke of Jamal Charles on various shows, came out and said it was not going to be the type of year for Jamal Charles that it was last year. He was the top fantasy running back, but certainly injuries played into that. Still had over 1,000 yards, 9 TDs on the ground, 40 catches, only 291 and 5 TDs through the air. He had seven games, up over 15 points. He was reliable. Certainly hurt owners down the stretch, definitely in the playoff run. Coming in at number eight, another great pickup here, Justin Forsett of the Baltimore Ravens, 1,266 yards, 8 TDs. He had another 44 catches for 263 yards. He had four games up over 15 points. He's a guy that you picked up off the waiver wire. So for him to be in the top 10, you certainly got more than your money's worth there. Number nine, Lamar Miller. Certainly was solid this year. I like what he brought to the table. No Sean Moreno getting hurt allowed for us to really see what he could do in a full-time capacity. Had always been sharing a workload since he's been there. 1,100 yards, 8 TDs on the ground, 38 catches, 275 yards, and a TD through the air. Had 3 games up over 15 points. He had 8 games this year, excuse me, 7 games this year, where he was in double digits. So, again, another guy, late-round pick, waiver wire pick, if you couldn't ask for anything more. Number 10, without question, he's going to be in the top 10 next year. We're talking about Jeremy Hill, the standout rookie running back for the Cincinnati Bengals. Second half of the season, he's a guy that if you were able to pick up on your team, certainly should have been a huge part of you having some victories. 1,124 rushing yards, 9 TDs, also chipped in 27 catches for 215 yards. Hill had 5 games out of his 8 starts where he's up over 15 points, only had single digits twice, and one of those games was 9. And so there's no question Jeremy Hill, big-time talent. The word is out now. He'll be gone by the second round next year. There's no question about that. Another guy who's probably going to be in that same situation, C.J. Anderson of the Denver Broncos. This guy was an absolute monster, certainly a candidate for waiver wire pickup of the year. You're looking at C.J. Anderson coming in last 7 weeks of the NFL season, 849 rushing yards, 8 rushing TDs, 34 receptions, 324 yards, 2 TDs. 6 out of his 8 starts, he's up over 15 points. He only had one single-digit game, and that game was 9 points. If you were able to pick up C.J. Anderson, what an addition he was to your lineup this year. Number 12, Alfred Morris of the Washington Redskins. It's a surprise he's even making it in at number 12. Bad year for Morris. That Redskins offense just didn't operate the way that it needed to. Morris still was able to get over 1,000 yards rushing, 8 TDs. Not too big of a threat in the air. 17 catches, 155 yards. Did give you 3 games over 15 points, but 9 games in single digits. Certainly not what you paid for in Alfred Morris. But again, that Redskins offense as a whole inconsistent. Shady McCoy coming in at number 13. Certainly a surprise seeing him down this low. But we all can see now that it was his touchdown amount that had him down here. So I don't think you discredit him. I think the main thing that you worry about is moving forward, is this a trend that's going to continue? McCoy, 1,300 rushing yards this year. By no means is that bad, 1,319 to be exact. But the 5 rushing touchdowns, the 155 receiving yards, no receiving TDs, that production affected by the arrival of Darren Sproles for the high majority. That's certainly why you see McCoy further down on the list. He did give you 4 games of over 15 points, but 50% of the time, that was the inconsistency, and that's certainly not a word that we've associated with him over the years. 8 games, McCoy in single digits. Certainly hurt a lot of owners in a major way. He was a top 5 pick without question this year. 14, Joyke Bell. Now we're kind of getting to some guys who are on the waiver wire, late-round picks, so you certainly respect their hustle. Joyke Bell, 860 yards, 7 TDs. Did owners a lot of justice with 3 games of over 15 yards at 8 games in double digits. 15, Mark Ingram, another guy who, when he started, he's one of the best running backs in fantasy football going this year. Ingram, a guy with 4 games up over 15 points. And basically the 10 games he started, you know, he had 3 games in single digits, had 9 doubles on the season where he's pumping in double-digit points, finished with 964 yards, 9 TDs. Great job by Mark Ingram this year. Number 16, here's a guy highly slept on. You had to catch him on the right weeks, but if you were, certainly should have been a big part of your team winning. I'm talking about Matt Asiata, Minnesota Vikings. How about 9 touchdowns on the ground for Asiata this year? 44 catches for 312 yards to go along with 570 rushing yards. Also had a receiving touchdown, 3 games, and those were the games in which you needed to catch Asiata. 3 games, he's up over 15 points, gave you 6 games of double digits. So, again, you certainly can't complain with the production he brought to the table. Frank Gore at 17. I had Gore at 14 coming in. I think we all know if Gore would have gotten fed the football like he normally would have been, certainly he would have been up higher on the list. Still had 1,106 yards, even though he didn't even have over 250 carries. 4 rushing TDs. We know a lot of his production was just tied to the fiasco, again, it took place in San Francisco this year. Gore did have 2 games over 15 points. Did have 6 double-digit games on the season, so I think for all things considered, Frank Gore was very solid. Giovanni Bernard at 18 got off to a very fast start, got injured. That pretty much slowed his role down, but I think his role now is defined. We have a better understanding of how Cincinnati is going to use their backfield. Bernard, in the games that he was effective for you, had seven double-digit games on the season. He did have over 1,000 all-purpose yards and seven TDs. So, again, I think all things considered, if you're able to catch him at the right week, he certainly did a lot for your team. If you had him in on a long week, certainly hurt you. But injuries really marred his season. Potentially, I think that's going to cost him that lead role in Cincinnati. 19, Chris Ivory, 821 yards, 6 TDs. Again, guy with 4 double-digit games on the season. He was certainly a spot play. And then Andre Ellington of the Arizona Cardinals. I had 5 double-digit games on the season, 3 games of over 15 yards. Got injured late, but after week 10, his season was pretty much done when you was looking at Arizona playing the top defenses in the NFL. We're going to run to another break real quick. It's the NFL Exporter Extra Point. When we come back, we're going to run it down.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as The Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on The Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's The Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, The Master Plan.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Extra Point. NFL Exporter in the building. Once again, congratulations and shouting out everybody who brought championships home this year. If you made it to the championship game, I know you understand only one team can win. I certainly can speak from my own experience this year in the game where my team just flat out didn't show up in one of my matchups. I certainly brought home a championship in my other league. But at least if your team loses, you want these guys to go out with honor. You certainly want them to produce and just get play against a guy who puts up more points as opposed to your team not showing up at all. So for those owners who that happened, nothing you can do about it. All you can do is put these guys on the field. But at the end of the day, we got to go with the reality run here. And, again, my man Jerry Taylor, myself, certainly champion this year, and it's a good feeling after 17 weeks to sit on top and come into the next season being the one who your respective league runs through. Let's move now over to our wide receiver position here. Number one, Antonio Brown. Man, I tell you, this guy is something else. How much better can he get? I think that's the only question we have to ask about him. How about 129 catches, 1,698 yards, 13 touchdowns, had double digits in 14 out of 16 games this year, 8 games. He's up over 15 points. There was nobody who did it better. If you had him in a league where you got all-purpose money, also was able to do some damage in the special teams game. Just a special player. I don't think anybody's seen this coming, but the Pittsburgh Steelers certainly have a very talented player in the NFL. I think right now you got to look at him as being the best in the business from a number standpoint. I think as we move through this top 20 list of receivers, there's certainly some cases you can make for a lot of guys. And Antonio Brown, an absolute beast. Was able to outdo his numbers from last year, which I did not think were possible. So, man, wow, sky's the limit for this guy. Number two, Demaryius Thomas of the Denver Broncos. Just as an impressive year, 111 catches, 1,619 yards, 11 TDs, double digits in 13 out of 16 games, 5 games. He's up over 15-plus points. As long as Peyton Manning is healthy and is a quarterback in Denver Broncos, you will continue to see Demaryius Thomas amongst the top 2 or 3 receivers in the NFL. Coming in at number three, you got Jordy Nelson of the Green Bay Packers. What a banner year this guy had. He certainly solidified himself as a top 5 fantasy receiver moving forward. After last year, where he had pretty much the same numbers, last year he had 1,514 yards with 8 TDs. This year, 98 catches, 1,519 yards, 13 TDs, 10 out of 16 games in double digits, 7 games up over 15-plus points. Just an absolute monster. Aaron Rodgers, they retired. I think you look at these top receivers here, their quarterback and their overall offensive production. These guys are the main functioning pieces to those puzzles. And if you had them on your football teams, you should have definitely had a playoff spot. Next, we're talking about Dez Bryant of the Dallas Cowboys. As the aforementioned Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas, Jordy Nelson, get used to seeing this guy in the top four or five receivers every year. Led all receivers with 16 touchdown catches, 88 receptions, 1,320 yards, six games of over 15 points, 10 out of his 16 showing he put up double digits. Dez Bryant is an absolute monster. There's no way Dallas cannot afford to pay that man. When he gets his money, I think this kid is motivated enough. I think Dez Bryant, without question, is going to continue to be one of the best wide receivers in the NFL for a very, very long time. Speaking of someone I can speak pretty much the same about, I'm talking about Odell Beckham Jr. Missed the first four games of the season, nonetheless, comes in as your fifth-ranked fantasy receiver. This guy was unbelievable this year. 91 catches, 1,305 yards, 12 TDs in just 11 games. This kid was unbelievable this year. Nine out of his 12 games, he's in double digits. He's got seven out of those 12 games. He's up over 15 points. Simply carried owners down the stretch run. I can speak for myself. Beckham Jr., a huge part of my fantasy championship team this year. Man, I tell you, if this kid can stay healthy and has the work ethic and the hunger for it, I tell you, this guy is going to be in the top five for a very, very long time. Emmanuel Sanders of the Denver Broncos. I thought there was no way this guy could outdo Eric Decker's numbers from last year. Decker had 87 catches, 1,188 yards, and 11 TDs. How about Emmanuel Sanders, 101 catches, 1,404 yards, 9 TDs. Young man went to work. The young man went to work. Made Wes Welker an afterthought. You rarely see that happen. I mean, Peyton Manning just flat out said, you know what? Sorry, Wes. It's not happening this year, even when Julius Thomas got injured. So, certainly have some things favor him, but huge year. 10 out of 16 games in double digits, five games up over 15 points for owners who were able to capitalize on his interest this year. He certainly was in a lot of championship games. There's no question about that. Coming in at number seven, how about Randall Cobb, the other half of that Green Bay Packers, magnificent tandem out there with Aaron Rodgers, 91 catches, 1,287 yards, 12 TDs, had double digits in 11 out of 16 games this year. That was actually one more than his teammate Nelson. Five games, he's up over 15-plus points. The only negative thing really on that Randall Cobb was this year he had a six-game stretch without any TDs from weeks 11 to 16. That certainly hurt some owners in some playoff games where he could have been used a little more, but you cannot complain, especially for a number two receiver. And that's what we're talking about. In Emmanuel Sanders and Randall Cobb. Amazing the numbers they put up this year. Julio Jones of the Atlanta Falcons, spectacular once again. 104 catches, 1,593 yards, 6 TDs. Gave you double digits in 9 out of 16 games, 3 games up on 15 points. Cobb had a mean drought right around the middle of the season with 6 straight games without a TD reception. So that certainly hurt his numbers some, but was able to turn it on down the stretch run if it wasn't for an injury. This was a guy who probably would have been a couple notches up. Coming in at number nine, you've got Jeremy Maclin. What a season he had out for the Philadelphia Eagles, 85 catches, 1,318 yards, 10 TDs. If it wasn't for the quarterback change, I certainly think he could be a couple notches up as well. As we all know, Mark Sanchez basically took over the last 8 games of the season for the Philadelphia Eagles. His favorite target was Jordan Matthews. But for Nick Foles, it was Jeremy Maclin. Maclin, 8 TDs in the first 8 games, only 2. The last 8 weeks of the season, nonetheless, did have 8 doubles on the season, 5 games up over 15-plus points. He's a guy who showed us when he's healthy, certainly can do his part. Great fit, I think, as long as Nick Foles is a quarterback over there for the Philadelphia Eagles. Rounding out our top 10, how about T.Y. Hilton of the Indianapolis Colts? Torch got passed this year from Reggie Wayne. This guy's off and running, 82 grabs, 1,345 yards, 7 TDs. Double digits in 8 games, 4 games up over 15 points. The connect is there, him and Andrew Luck, that tandem. If they can stay together long enough, they're going to break some records. Mike Evans for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's second to Odell Beckham Jr. This was a very talented and deep group at the rookie wide receiver position. Evans, not to be outdone, with 12 TD catches themselves, really came on the second half of the season, 8 doubles on the season, 4 games over 15 points. I was able to eclipse 1,000 yards on 68 catches. This kid is big-time talented. He should be hovering around the top 10 early projections next season as well. Alshon Jeffries, great year for Jeffrey. You know, I know a lot of people were down on Alshon, but I think all things considered, coming in at number 12, look, he gave you 10 TD receptions, 1,133 yards, 85 catches. He was double digits in 10 games this year. So I think that's, you know, that's right up there with Dez Bryant, with Emmanuel Sanders. I think the Bears losing certainly kind of made his numbers look a little bit more ugly what they were. Certainly some inconsistencies by Jay Cutler. But he had four games of over 15 points. Alshon Jeffery still giving his owners a lot of value this year. Number 13, Golden Tate. The only thing he didn't capitalize on was touchdowns. Only had four of those. When you're looking at 99 catches for 1,331 yards, we know a lot of that came, not a lot of that, but we know that he had basically about four games where Calvin Johnson was out. Nonetheless, that is the reality of this year. Six games in double digits, three games of over 15 points. If you were able to grab Golden Tate this year, man, I tell you, what a great pickup you had there. Calvin Johnson of the Detroit Lions, I think that should let us know how dominant Calvin is. Despite missing six games this year, still ended with 71 catches, 1,077 yards, 8 TDs, six games in double digits, five games of over 15 points. I think as long as Johnson gets back healthy, very motivated he'll be next year. I think he's a guy who doesn't speak a lot, but he's noticing a lot of these other wide receivers now starting to get a little bit more recognition in them. I think he's going to be a beast next year, healthy. Number 15, how about DeAndre Hopkins of the Houston Texans? Six TDs is really what kept his number, 76 catches. 1,200 to 10 yards. You certainly love that. Five double-digit games on the season, and then two games of 15 or more points. And so, look, we know in Houston that's a team that certainly had quarterback issues. They're a team that likes to run the football. If they can get a good quarterback, DeAndre Hopkins, only in his second year, he's going to be around for a long time. Again, if you look at his numbers as a rookie, this year he's up to, you know, over 1,200 yards, six TDs. If this guy keeps getting better, he's going to be a top 10 candidate. I don't think there's going to be any way we can deny that. Coming in at number 16, DeSean Jackson, certainly a solid outing. You know, it's one thing if you can say about DeSean Jackson, let's face it, probably not the most motivated on that losing Washington team. Certainly had some injuries mar him a little bit, but went on the football field, the guy was flat out productive, eight games in double digits. He had four games of over 15 points. He missed three or four games due to injury, but look, 1,169 yards on only 56 catches, nine TDs. Without question, DeSean Jackson is still one of the most electrifying players, big play guy that the NFL has to offer at the wide receiver position. Let's not get that mistaken. 17, Calvin Benjamin, another talented rookie in here, 73 catches, 1,008 yards. Certainly the first half of the season, much better than the second half. Did come away with nine TDs, four games up over 15 points. Did have eight double-digit games on the season for a rookie. Late round or waiver wire pickup, you can't beat it. Mike Wallace, another late round pickup. One thing for Wallace of the Dolphins, not up over 1,000 yards, only 862, but the 10 TDs. I think you got to respect that. You know, would you rather have a guy with more yards or less TDs? I think you take the double digits. Look, he had seven games of double digits. Two games up over 15 points again for where you drafted him at. You got to love that. Torrey Smith, Steve Smith Sr., I ended out with both of those guys. I think that's the situation we're looking at now where you're looking at value. Torrey Smith, I don't think there were too many people who were picking him up, you know, in the early rounds. Got up to a very, very slow start. But look, he ended with eight double-digit games on the season, 11 touchdown receptions. That's what you like right there. 767 yards, three games up over 15 points. And then his teammate, Steve Smith Sr., same thing, waiver wire, late round, 79 catches, 1,065 yards, six TDs, especially in PPR league, six double-digit games on the year, three games up over 15 points. So you certainly like that. And then we'll give him an honorable mention, peeking right outside, A.J. Green. He's a guy we had in our top 20, obviously. Despite missing four games and the inaccuracies of quarterback Andy Dalton, still came in with 69 catches, 1,041 yards, six TDs. Taking a peek at some of our wide receivers here, who was a huge surprise that we did not see them on the list. Rody White, Brandon Marshall, Marcus Colson, Vincent Jackson, Andre Johnson, Keenan Allen, Michael Crabtree, Pierre Garcon, Larry Fitzgerald, Reggie Wayne, Percy Harvin, Wes Welker, Cordarrelle Patterson, and Josh Gordon. We all know Gordon had the suspension, but that's a lot of wide receivers that we had ranked inside of our top 20 who didn't make the cut. For various reasons. I think we all know what those reasons are now. Let's go ahead and run to another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our tight ends, our defense special teams, our kickers, NFL Exporter Extra Point. We'll be right back after these messages.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Extra Point. NFL Exporter, going through our rankings. This is our final show for the year now that the NFL and fantasy football regular season is over. As always, shouting out all my champions, myself included. Looking at our top tight ends, Rob Gronkowski, back healthy, back atop the charts. I don't think there's any question that this young man, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to continue to dominate this position. 82 catches, 1,124 yards, 12 TDs, led all tight ends with 8 games in double digits this season. Also led all tight ends with 14 out of 16 games. He's up over 60 yards receiving. Big-time weapon right there, I tell you. Rob Gronkowski, this guy's a force to be reckoned with. Number two, pleasant surprise, Antonio Gates, San Diego Chargers, tied with Gronkowski for the most TDs with 12. Still pumped in 69 catches, 821 yards. Gates gave you 6 games with over double digits, and also had had 10 out of the 16 games where he's up over 60 yards receiving. Great job by Antonio Gates. Was able to get back fully healthy for the second straight year, became a huge weapon for Phillip Rivers. Gates, even though he's 35 years of age, doesn't seem like he's going to be slowing down anytime soon. Coming in at number three, Jimmy Graham. I think if you look at these numbers from afar for a wide receiver or a tight end, you will be very impressed. 85 catches, 889 yards, 10 TDs. Nonetheless, this was an off year for Jimmy Graham. Graham had 10 out of his 16 games where he was not in double digits. 7 of those games, he's up under 60 yards receiving. Now, he did have 6 games where he was in double digits, but that's where the bulk of his work came in. Those other 10 games, Jimmy Graham, huge disappointment this year, but we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Basically, now that the season is over, kind of came out and just acknowledged that his shoulder injury was certainly a huge nuisance to him. Didn't want to use that as an excuse. All players play injured, but that's something that he said he's looking to get worked out and rebound next year. Number four, another pleasant surprise, Greg Olsen. Man, this guy has been chomping at the bit the last couple of years. Finally breaks into the top five, 84 catches, 1,008 yards, 6 TDs. Big play guy for Cam Newton. 8 double-digit games on the season. 10 out of his 16 games, he's up over 60 yards receiving. Greg Olsen, a guy that you absolutely love to have on your fantasy football team. Number five, Martellus Bennett. And especially if we're talking about PPR, man, these top five guys put up the big-time numbers. Then you see a huge, huge drop-off. Martellus Bennett, 90 catches, 916 yards, 6 TDs. He had 6 games where he was in double digits. 8 out of his 16 games, he's up over 6 points. So you certainly like that production from a fantasy football tight end. Now, considering that Gronkowski with 82 catches, Gates with 69, Graham with 85, Olsen with 84, Martellus Bennett with 90. All of those receivers up over 800 yards, all of those receivers with at least 6 touchdowns. Now, we go down to Kobe Fleener. I think, again, he's the last guy we're going to look at, really, where you, before you see that drop off, and I do apologize about that, but Fleener. 51 catches, 774 yards, 8 TDs. You love that, especially considering he was splitting time with starter Dwayne Allen. 5 games in double digits, gave you 7 games this year where he's up over 6 points. And so Kobe Fleener, certainly a guy who I thought if he got the full workload, I think there's no question that he could possibly be higher on this list. Now you look at Julius Thomas. This would have to be the biggest disappointment at the tight end position this year, I think, out of everybody, just due to the hot start he got off. 9 touchdowns in his first 5 games, but finished the season, he didn't even have 50 catches, didn't even touch 500 yards, the 12 TDs you love. But again, 9 of those in the first 5 games. You look at Julius Thomas coming down the stretch. This guy had 9 games where he's not scoring 6 points or more, missed a lot of games due to injury, and did not have a single touchdown catch in the last 7 games of the season. Absolutely killed homers. Number 8, you have Travis Kelce. Excellent season for him, Kansas City. 862 yards, 5 TDs on 67 catches. Give you 3 games in double digits, 7 games where he's up over 6 points. Delanie Walker coming in at number 9, 63 catches, 890 yards, 4 touchdowns. That's Jerry's guy right there making the top 10. 3 double-digit games there. Had 8 games where he's up over 6 points, so you certainly love that. Making it into the top 10, Jason Witten really came on strong down the stretch as the Cowboys were making their playoff push. 64 catches, 703 yards, 5 TDs there. Had 2 games of double digits, but gave you 8 games where he had 6 points or more. Coming down the stretch run, Heath Miller of the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 11, 761 yards, 3 TDs, had 2 double-digit games on the season. Number 12, Larry Donald of the Giants, 623 yards, 6 TDs, gave you 3 games in double digits. Really hurt Donald, no TDs in the last 6 games with Eli Manning. Looked to ODB and Reuben Randall on the outside to get the job done. Number 13, Dwayne Allen, not a lot of yards with 395, but 8 TDs, which allowed him to have 5 double-digit games. Missed 5 games due to injury. That certainly hurt his numbers. 14, Zach Ertz of the Philadelphia Eagles, still pumped in 702 receiving yards, 3 TDs, 3 double-digit games. Next at 15, you got Jared Cook of the St. Louis Rams, 634 yards, 4 TDs, had 2 double-digit games on the season. Charles Clay, injured the majority of the year, still was able to get 605 receiving yards, 3 TDs, had 4 games of double digits on the season. Once Dennis Pitta went down, Owen Daniel chipped in 527 yards and 4 TDs. 3 games he got you in double digits there. Jermaine Gresham of the Cincinnati Bengals, 460 yards, 5 TDs, 2 games for double digits. Number 19, Michael Rivera of the Oakland Raiders, had 534 yards and 4 TDs, 3 games of double digits. And rounding out of your top 20 is Scott Chandler of the Buffalo Bills, 497 yards, 3 TDs, only had 1 double-digit game on the season. Without question, our biggest disappointment at the tight end position, Jordan Cameron of the Cleveland Browns, only 2 TDs all year. Jordan Reed of the Redskins without a single TD. Kyle Rudolph missed a huge part due to injury, only 2 TDs. Vernon Davis flat out did not even show up for San Francisco this year, 2 TDs. There were some prospects for rookies Eric Ebron and Safarian Jenkins for Tampa, only 3 TDs between both of those guys. And we just hope Dennis Pitta can get back healthy. Went down with a second hip injury in as many years. Certainly, if he would have been out there for Baltimore, he would have been a big-time player this year. We're going to move it over now to the defense special teams, your top-tier defenses. Number 1, Buffalo Bills, 8 double-digit games on the season, at least 11 games with 9 or more points. Great job by those guys. They should be scary getting Kiko Alonso back next year. Philadelphia Eagles use special teams as a huge part of their defensive special team effort this year. 7 games where they're up over 9 points. Great job by them. Seattle Seahawks, these guys really turned it on strong. Had the most double-digit games by out of any defenses this year with 9. 8 out of their last 10 games, they're up over double digits. Excellent job by them. Also came in second to Buffalo with 10 games up over 9 points. Houston Texans, man, J.J. Wyatt is out there, so you already know what the business is there. If you're looking from week 8 on, they did not have a single defensive game where they did not have 7 points or more. 8 double-digit games on the season. Great job by them. Detroit Lions defense with 8 double-digit games on the season coming in at number 5. At number 6 and 7, you got the New England Patriots and Baltimore Ravens. Both of those defenses with 6 double-digit games. And number 8, Green Bay Packers. 5 double-digit games on the season. Number 9, St. Louis Rams with 4. Coming in at number 10, you got the San Francisco 49ers with 7 double-digit games on the season. Still in the top 10. Great job by their defense this year. And their offense was the problem. I don't think people really focused in on that. You figure they played the majority this year without Aldon Smith, Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, a brand-new secondary. Still coming in the top 10. Great job by them. Number 11, Denver Broncos with 4 double-digit games. Number 12, how about the Minnesota Vikings? Mike Zimmerman paying off, coming over there, helping his defense get 5 double-digit games. Arizona Cardinals defense, really the first half of the season, were strong at 7 games of double-digit points. Number 14, Miami Dolphins had 7 six double-digit games. The Kansas City Chiefs had four double-digit games, and in rounding out our top 16, basically the top half of defenses in the NFL, Pittsburgh Steelers with five double-digit games on the season. And then moving over to our kickers, we got Steven Gostkowski of the New England Patriots. He had 11 double-digit games on the season. He's always amongst the fantasy leaders. Great job by him there. I know his owners had to be pleased. Cody Parkey of the Philadelphia Eagles, 10 double-digit games on the season. Number three, Adam Vinatieri with eight. At number four, how about Dan Carpenter of the Buffalo Bills? Seven double-digit games on the year. Very impressive there. For the Atlanta Falcons, Matt Bryant with six, as well as kicker Dan Bailey of the Dallas Cowboys. Both of those guys, veteran guys, been making it happen for a long time. Number seven, Sean Sweetsham of the Pittsburgh Steelers, five double-digit games on the year. Number eight, Mason Crosby. Number nine, Steven Hauschka. And number 10, Randy Bullock of the Houston Texans. All three of those kickers pumped in seven double-digit games on the year. That is a great job there. Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens, he had six double-digit games. Caleb Sturgis of the Miami Dolphins had five. Nick Folk of the New York Jets had four. You have Josh Brown of the New York Giants, five double-digit games on the year. Graham Gano of the Carolina Panthers with six. And Chandler Carnarvon, the rookie for the Arizona Cardinals, rounds out our top 16, our top-tier receivers with four games on this season. We are going to run to a quick break. It is the NFL Exporter on the extra point. When we come back, we'll take a look at the playoff picture and see what players affected you winning or losing the championship.
With a breakdown of Sunday NFL games, Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman, points out the good, the bad, and the ugly of the predictions made on the Master Plan. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Lance brings you the extra point. During the NFL season, Lance comes to you live from blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. With a growing following, jump on board for the Extra Point with Lance Goodman at blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also check him out on The Master Plan with Jerry Taylor at 10 a.m. Eastern. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Extra Point NFL Exporter. Now that we've gone through all of our position rankings, let's take a look at what players helped or hurt you win a championship. I know this is something that obviously everybody's going to be able to relate to. When you look at the quarterback position, the top quarterbacks in the playoffs were Tony Romo of the Dallas Cowboys in weeks 14 through 17, and that's where we're basically basing this off of week 14, week 15, week 16, week 17. Those championship rounds there, Tony Romo, 20 points, 20 points, 26 points, and 17 points, certainly did a great job. You're looking at Eli Manning. This guy caught fire. If you're looking at what Eli Manning did in weeks 15, 16, and 17, put up 22 points, 27 points, and 19. Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers, very strong down the stretch, sat out one game against Tampa Bay, but his three out of his last four starts, Cam Newton, 35 points, 22 points, and 19 points. And then Matt Ryan was a little bit slow. If you were able to catch Ryan, basically in his first three matchups, he was good business. Week 14, 31 points. Week 15, 20 points. Week 16, 16 points. If you have him in week 17 at home against the Panthers, and obviously he probably did not help your cause out any. But the main subject that was widely talked about was the quarterback position and how these top-ranked quarterbacks underachieved when it came to the championship rounds this year. It's a long list. Again, I'm quite sure for some people they're happy because you played against these guys, and by them underperforming, it helped your team to get a victory. But for other people, and again, for myself, Matt Stafford, this is a guy who absolutely killed me. Aaron Rodgers, you're looking at Rodgers in those championship rounds, week 15 and 16, one touchdown, two interceptions against Buffalo and Tampa Bay. Andrew Luck, down the stretch run, week 15, 16, 17, two TDs, three interceptions, those games against Houston, Dallas, and then he only played a half against Tennessee. When you look at Russell Wilson, certainly had the huge game in week 16 with 35 points. That helped quite a few people I know win a championship. But if you play Wilson in week 15 at home against the 49ers, only 10 points, that certainly had to hurt. Peyton Manning, we talked about his struggles down the stretch run. You look at what Manning did during the playoffs, 2 points, 13 points, 12 points, 8 points. Absolutely killed owners. I mean, you're talking about Peyton Manning here. For him to have two single-digit games, not even come anywhere near close to 20 points, that's a higher blow to take. Then Roethlisberger, 14 points, 12 points, 16 points. Those are weeks 15, 16, and 17. Certainly not the production you were expecting from Ben Roethlisberger. Another guy who just murdered you this year, I'm talking about Drew Brees. He had 11 points. Had the 27-point game on Monday Night Football that helped a lot of owners advance to the next round, but he was back down to 10 points in Week 16, 9 points in Week 17. Brees, I mean, come on, three out of the last 4 weeks, this guy can't even get you more than 11 points. That's a hard blow to take. Tom Brady was good in Week 16 with 18, but in Week 16 he only had 10 points. Ryan Tannehill. Down, man. I mean, outside of the week 16 matchup against Minnesota, where he had 29 points, had 13 points, 15 points, and 12 points in those championship rounds. Phillip Rivers, another guy that really, really just did not perform. If you're looking at three out of his four championship rounds, 9 points, 9 points, 5 points. Did have a 1-24 point game against San Francisco, but again, even through three interceptions in that matchup, Joe Flacco was pretty much the same. If you look at Flacco in those championship rounds, week 15 and 16, 12 and 9 points. Jay Cutler, another guy, week 15, 13 points. Sat out week 16, week 17, 9 points. How about Matthew Stafford? Come on. In weeks 15 and 16, he's giving you 10 points and 5 points. Colin Kaepernick, if you had any trust in him, you certainly were not able to utilize him in week 15, 16 and 17 when he was up over 20 points in both of those games, because in weeks 14 and 15, you got burnt 8 points, 9 points against the Raiders. I think that really did it for people. And then Andy Dalton coming down the stretch run, weeks 15, 16 and 17, 2 points, 13 points, 13 points. The quarterback position is certainly a position this year that in the fantasy football playoffs, again, if you played against these guys, you couldn't have been any more pleased. But if you had these quarterbacks on your team, man, you had to come away from the situation feeling mighty salty if your team lost. Now moving over to the running back position. And then before we hop into the players who hurt you or helped you on your way to a championship, wanted to acknowledge some of those running backs from earlier. I apologize that we went over our top 20 running backs not on the list who certainly were either in the top 20 to 25 or at least in fantasy conversations. I'm talking about Shane Vereen, Rashard Jennings, we call him now CJK1, Ben Tate, Trent Richardson, Doug Martin, Reggie Bush, Ryan Matthews, Toby Gerhardt, CJ Spiller, Stephen Ridley, Zach Stacy, Noshawn Moreno, Monty Ball, and most notably Ray Rice, as well as Adrian Peterson. And so as you can see, the running back position suddenly took a huge hit this year when you contrast it to really only Josh McCown, Nick Foles, Carson Palmer, and RG3 not being in the top 20 players at their respective position. But there was no question this year that there was a lot of running backs for various reasons. And I'm not saying that all these guys were better than the guys in the top 20, but for the type of year that these guys had, considering what the expectation was, certainly did not perform. Now let's take a look at the running backs who did perform. If you had them on your team, these guys certainly continued to carry the torch for you through the playoffs. All of our top guys, DeMarco Murray, Le'Veon Bell, Marshawn Lynch, Matt Forte did have games in week 16 with only 9 points. In week 15 with only 9 points. That certainly was one that hurt owners in that game. I actually know a guy in my league who got hurt by that 9-point game by Forte, and then 7 points if you needed to use them in week 17. Arian Foster, the only thing that really hurt his owners in week 17, he had to leave the game early with an injury. Eddie Lacy performed at a high level. Lamar Miller down the stretch run, his last 2 weeks, 20 and 23 points. We talked about our waiver wire pickups and C.J. Anderson and Jeremy Hill. These guys absolutely killed it. LeSean McCoy picked up the pace down the stretch, had a couple double-digit games in the last 3 weeks. Joyke Bell had double digits in all playoff rounds except week 17. Mark Ingram pumped in double digits all playoffs. Matt Asiata, this is the guy, him and Frank Gore, I really like down the stretch run. You're looking at Asiata, 14 points, 20 points, 10 points in the playoffs. Frank Gore, 8 points, 21 points, 14 points in the playoffs. And then Giovanni Bernard coming back strong with 9 points, 13 points, and 11 points in the playoffs. Those running backs certainly did a great job for your fantasy football team. On the flip side of things, Jamaal Charles had to be the hugest disappointment this year. And the championship rounds, 15, 16, and 17, 5 points, 4 points, 5 points. I know that had to be a crushing blow to some owners. Justin Forsett, very tough matchups in the playoffs, had 4 points, 2 points, but did respond the last game of the season with 12. Alfred Morris, poor playoff showing, did have 14 points in weeks 16. And then Chris Ivory and Andre Ellington, both of those guys, even though ranked inside the top 20, certainly had no type of bearings on your championship winnings at all. Ivory, very poor down the stretch. Ellington, not even available on the football field. When we move over to the wide receiver position now, we're talking about guys who helped you and hurt you. For the wide receivers, for the most part, things were pretty much steady. A particular game stood out. Jordy Nelson, week 15 at Buffalo, certainly dropped what appeared to be a 94-yard touchdown. It certainly was a pass that would at least put him up over 100 yards. He came out of there with only 5 points. That affected Aaron Rodgers' production as well. Demaryius Thomas, week 14, that was the opening round for a lot of people, fourth round to get in, only 1 point there. Emmanuel Sanders, quiet in the playoffs, with the exception of week 16, 14, 15, and 17, he only had 6, 5, and 7 points respectively. Randall Cobb, tough outing, week 14, Monday night against Atlanta, certainly expected more there, only 5 points. Julio Jones, week 15, 16, and 17, 0 points, 10 points, and 5 points. He certainly fizzled out down the stretch run on owners after the past couple weeks, really just putting on monster games. Jeremy Maclin, not able to reach double digits in any playoff games there. T.Y. Hilton sat out the last two games of the regular season. Prior to that, only 5 points against the Texans. So after a huge year by him, he certainly fizzled out. Mike Evans was only able to pull in one double-digit game throughout the playoffs. Did give you 7 points in week 15, but still not the showing you would expect from him there. Golden Tate, unable to reach double digits in the playoffs. A.J. Green, I think he's probably the hugest disappointment, you'd have to say, from the fantasy football standpoint, considering the player that he is. When you're looking at him in weeks 15, 16, and 17, he's coming out there with 4 points, 0 points, and 6 points. Man, I tell you, that was a very crucial blow. I think very, very indicative of a season where when he's healthy and on the field, this guy's a big-time player, but certainly some knick-knack injuries and just inconsistent play really held him back. Calvin Johnson, week 15, at home against Minnesota, only 53 points. Huge disappointment there. DeAndre Hopkins completely absent from the playoffs. DeSean Jackson sitting out weeks 14 and 15. Calvin Benjamin, 10 points, luckily he was able to get you playing that poor Tampa Bay team in week 15, but 16, 17, only 4 points combined in both of those games. Mike Wallace in week 16 and 17, he certainly was MIA. He was there for weeks 14 and 15, but those last two games really fizzled out for your team. Torrey Smith, if you caught him at the right time, first two playoff rounds, 0, 1 point, last 2 weeks, 17 and 14 points. And this season, the senior, unable to find double digits, but did get you 9 points. I think at that point, week 17, it was pretty much after the fact. Moving over to the tight end position, the guys who were able to come through for you in the playoffs, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Gates, Travis Kelce balled out week 16, though tough showing against Pittsburgh with only 6 points. Jason Witten certainly came through last couple weeks in the playoffs, weeks 15 and 16, those money rounds with 6 and 15 points. And then we're talking about Heath Miller, strong throughout the course of the playoffs, weeks 14, 15, and 16. He's up over 6 points in each of those rounds. The guys who were disappointments for you, Greg Olsen of the Carolina Panthers, only 2 points his last two starts. Martellus Bennett, 5 points, 0 points, 5 points in the championship rounds. Kobe Fleener, very quiet till after the fact. A lot of people didn't even know if Indianapolis was going to start their guy. He did have 17 points in Week 17. Julius Thomas, we spoke about how he absolutely killed owner this year, only could muster up 6 points in four potential playoff games there for him. Larry Donald, very inconsistent, again, getting lost in the shuffle with what the Giants were doing on the outside with Beckham and Randall. And Dwayne Allen, that injury late in the year really hurt him, had 0 points in three his last four games. When you look at your defense special teams, the Buffalo Bills certainly were solid week 15 with 18 points. Seattle was solid the whole way through. Them, as well as the Houston Texans, had double digits every single round of the playoffs. Very valuable there. Detroit Lions, New England Patriots, Baltimore Ravens, Green Bay Packers, San Francisco 49ers, Denver Broncos, all of those defenses throughout the course of the season that were steady. Three out of 4 weeks they were there for you, giving you 7-plus points. Arizona Cardinals, if you used them week 15 with 12. Kansas City, two out of their last three games, 17 and 15 points respectively. If you used a couple of these defenses, they hurt you big time. We're talking about the Buffalo Bills. Week 16 at Oakland, that was the game they were expected to really put up monster numbers, came out of there with only 1 point. Philadelphia Eagles only had 6 points throughout the course of the playoffs. That was their high, I should say. St. Louis Rams, they really hurt you. Week 14, opening round, 24 points at Washington. But when you look at them coming away with 6 points, really negative 6 points in that championship round against the Giants, that really hurt bad. I had them as well. Minnesota Vikings came out with -3, -3, and -7. Arizona, if you use them in week 16 or 17, -9.0 points. What happened to the Dolphins' defense down the stretch? -1 point, -2 point, 6 points, -5 for their final four playoff showings. The Pittsburgh Steelers, not good in weeks 14 and 15 with 4 and 5, but if you spot played them in week 16 and 17, 11 and 16 points respectively. And then some other good spot plays, how about the Colts, double digits in weeks 15 and 17. Carolina's defense has turned it on late. 9, 12, 10, and 30 points they put on throughout the course of their playoff run. Dallas Cowboys defense, 12, 13, and 15 down a stretch run. And then Cincinnati, 15 points against Manziel in week 15. Unexpected 14 points against Peyton Manning in 16. And if you thought about playing the Atlanta Falcons in week 16, they had 20 points. And then last but not least, looking over to our kickers, it was rough. And I think that was pretty much the theme of this fantasy football playoff season. When it came down to these money rounds, boy, an off week by your team, and it cost you. I'm talking about Steven Gostkowski, 5 points week 16. Cody Parkey, week 16, 4 points. Vinatieri, 1 point. You did have Matt Bryant and Dan Bailey, week 16, 5 points. Steven Hauschka of Seattle, 2 points. You're coming away with Justin Tuck, 1 point. Nick Folk, 4 points. And Chandler Condorzano, 4 points. But there were some kickers who were certainly money. Dan Carpenter, week 16, he had 8. Week 15, he had 16. I'm talking about Steven Gostkowski, weeks 15 and 17. He had 11 and 10. He did have double digits, 3 out of his 4 runs. But your best kicker in the fantasy football playoffs was Josh Brown of the New York Giants, had 21 points, 14 points, and 16 points. In 3 out of his 4 showings. And so I know by now, certainly these are some players throughout the course of the fantasy football season and into the playoffs, that if they did not produce for you, that certainly hurt you a lot. We're going to run to one more quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show by giving out our season awards.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as The Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on The Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show, as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's The Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. information, motivation, variety, the master plan.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Extra Point NFL Exporter. We are going to wrap up our final show of the season, so I'd like to thank each and everybody for tuning in every week. Look forward to seeing you all back in August 2015. Right now, let's go ahead and hand out our awards. Our waiver wire regular season awards go to a couple guys that have shared this award. I'm talking about Jeremy Hill of the Cincinnati Bengals, C.J. Anderson of the Denver Broncos, Odell Beckham Jr. of the New York Giants. I don't think there were any players in fantasy football that affected potentially the outcomes, not only of regular seasons, but the impact that these guys had in the playoffs. I don't think there's any question about that. How about your top waiver wire pickup in the playoffs? Let's take a look at Reuben Randle of the New York Giants. If you're looking at Randle in weeks 16 and 17, he's up over 130 yards receiving and a touchdown in both of those games. Certainly came out and really helped any owners who utilized him well, as well as Matt Asiata of the Minnesota Vikings. We told you that Asiata in the playoffs had 14, 20, and 10 points. Huge, huge playoff addition for your team. Best late-round value picks is without question Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks, Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Emmanuel Sanders of the Denver Broncos, Jeremy Maclin of the Philadelphia Eagles. I also love this year Joyke Bell of the Detroit Lions. All of those guys, without question, you were able to pick up in the later rounds, and they cashed in big time. All team, your all-stud first team this year is Aaron Rodgers, DeMarco Murray, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas, Steven Gronkowski, the Buffalo Bills defense, and Steven Gostkowski at kicker. Your stud of the year, without question, is going to be DeMarco Murray of the Dallas Cowboys. And, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. I appreciate everybody. I'm shouting out my man, Victor Gardner. I'm shouting out my man, Jerry Taylor. We brought championships to the table. We are unrivaled, next to none. Y'all make sure to tune in to all the other great FSP shows. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at NFL Exporter, Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. The spelling there is NFLEXPORTER. Man, I am signing out of here. Champion 1100.
And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL Exporter has done it again.